Let's look at what makes characters illustrative and what I mean by that. If I'm responding to your story that I'm editing or a story that you upload, if I'm teaching a class, for example. It's a word that I use to mean a character seems to be illustrating a point that the author wants to make rather than being a real person. And so they come across as maybe two-dimensional, maybe cartoon-like, maybe like if you're watching a play from a long time ago and a character comes in and he is dressed as what he symbolizes, you know, it's obvious that these are not real people. Well, of course your characters are not real people, but that's generally, unless you're writing an intensely postmodernist, absurdist story or something, you generally want your characters to come across as real. And real people are not illustrative. Once in a while, there'll be somebody who is just so stereotypical that on the surface, they seem to really only be all about this one thing that they're passionate about, and they're just like, it's hard to take them seriously. They're kind of a joke, right? Well, you don't want characters that are jokes because they're stereotypical. You want to therefore include things about them that are contradictory, are multi-layered, complex, that are biological. Now, once in a while, you might want to have a character that's purely funny for purely one reason. I'm not really talking about comedy so much here, broad comedy, or, you know, a ridiculous character. Even in that case, these suggestions generally apply, but for the most part, I'm talking about just regular characters. Some people do this with their protagonist even, but a lot of times it's more common with the other characters. Many times people will make the antagonist be all evil, just purely bad. Wah-ha-ha, what terrible thing can I do to the world today? Or it'll be somebody who is a sexy guy or fraternity guy or well-dressed woman, something like that. Something, if you can sum this person up, Republican, Democrat, etc., if you can sum that person up in a word like that, and that's all that they represent, if they represent not being able to let go of the past or being able to let go of the past or anything like that, that's fine. You know what their role is. But particularly the more important they are, the more you should be able to also describe them with contradictory sentences, etc. When you describe what they look like, don't say, she's pretty. That's purely illustrative. Don't say, she's, you know, got a big booty. Don't say that he's gray. The gray-haired man said something, you know, like an old person would say, right? No. And again, once in a while, there are reasons to do this. For the most part, however, you really want to avoid this completely. So if you do something biological, then that makes them instantly seem like they are a human being. So maybe they're blinking their eyes against the sun because it's shining in their eyes. Maybe the wind is blowing their hair in their face. Sometimes things like that they're doing don't really have to have a reason. It's ideal if there's a reason. You know, if the way that they move when the hair blows in the face or the way that they blink can be used to show how this person is unique. You know, maybe when hair blows, they get really flustered, or if they blink, you notice that one eyelid has been painted in with eyeshadow and they forgot the other one. You know, something like that can make them unique so that at the same time they're doing something that everybody does, and so we can start to see them as real people. And at this, and also like the way they handle it or something about it reveals something unique about that character, so they're one individual. That's a great kind of technique to use. You can show them having subtext in their conversation. So if they say something, don't have it be something on the nose, direct, just saying exactly what they feel and exactly what the person needs to hear. Have it be passive aggressive, have it be suggestive, have them be too shy to actually come out and say the whole thing, they're just feeling it out. Maybe they're being ironic, maybe they just have a particular way of talking that they, you know, their accent or their shuffling, jumbling kind of way comes through. You can make them have contradictory characteristics so that we might expect them to be illustrative or something, and then we're surprised when they do something that's different. Quickly surprised. Don't wait too long, because by that time we're already bored of that character. And that will make them more well-rounded, as if lit from more than one side instead of just, you know, all white, all black in the shadow. If they're an antagonist, the antagonist is going to believe he's the good guy in his own story. He has reasons for doing what he's doing. He feels he's justified. He's not just being bad for being bad's sake, generally. So the more of those sides you can include, the better. And of course, with the protagonist, you want this character to feel like somebody we can bond with, like a friend. And if this character is illustrating a point that you have, like if you have in your mind, I want to teach these readers something, and I want to show them how this particular situation plays out, you know, I want them to learn to believe this about the world and to have these values, that can be good on one level. But if it's very obvious that that's what you're doing, that your story has a moral, it's like a fairy tale, readers don't generally like that very much. They don't want to be preached to. They don't want to be told children's bedtime stories that sums up how they should believe about the world. People do like stories with meaning. They do like to learn. But this can only happen if they believe that this character is real, they care about their character, and by the process of the narrative, they have come to feel so strongly about this character's well-being that they're engaged with the ideas directly in a palpable way. And if it remains illustrative, it remains distant from us, it remains like these are drawings illustrating a certain point that you're trying to get across, and it falls flat and people forget the story, don't finish reading it, especially if they don't agree with what you're saying. If they don't agree with what you're saying, if you really make us care about the, make readers care about the readers, then it can be all right. They don't have to necessarily agree. They may agree with you by the end if you've made them see the reality of this situation. But if you're only trying to convince them by illustrating this character is the good guy and you should believe like this good guy, this character is the bad guy, you should not believe this like this guy, and you're, you know, pounding that into your reader's mind, then it's not going to feel like entertainment, it's going to feel like homework.